Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Good morning, church. And we give praise for Judy. She's sitting in for us today as our AV tech, and we appreciate that. So she's going to be helping us out this morning. This message will be uploaded later, and you will find it in your app, and that sermon notes and everything else will be inside that, so you'll have it to go back and reflect on. But we are in a message series this morning called The Arrival, Embracing the Hope of Christ's Coming, as this is our Advent series. And this is our second week of doing that in Advent. And Advent is a season of not only expectation, but it's also a season of preparation. As we remember the first child of Bethlehem when Jesus' arrival came, and we look ahead to his promised return, which nobody knows the day or the hour that may occur, but that return happens now, though, inside our soul, and that's what we really want to focus on. Last week, we discussed hope and the expectations of God's promises in our life, and today we focus on peace, which is the second week of Advent, which we're into. And peace can be an elusive thing in a chaotic world. If your peace is tied to world system, then you're not very peaceful right now. And I know a lot of people that are out of their minds, you know, because the Cardinals aren't going to have a team next year, most likely. You know, the politics is upside down. You just name it. Go on down the road. There's just lots of people that are just crazy about what goes on in the world, and they have no peace. I mean, they're just out of their minds. And that's not the kind of peace we're talking about. So it's delusional. It's easy to fall into that trap as a believer to think that you're going to somehow just be okay with everything that's going on out there. And I'm not even saying you should be okay, because there's injustice going on. You should be standing up for that, just as we talked all about in our Bonhoeffer series. But the peace we're talking about, no matter what's going on in the world system, I can have peace in my soul. And the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That regardless of the chaos, there's always stuff going on out there in the world. I mean, that can, and if you give it any agency in your mind, it'll take over. And you'll race around, you'll suffer from anxiety, you can't stop thinking, you won't sleep good, because your mind, these narratives are just going on in your mind. And what if this, and what if that, and what is this? And you can just ate up with that stuff. And if you're not really anchored, and that's really the key word of this whole message, anchored in who Jesus is and what Jesus is about, and what it means to live a Jesus-centered life, you'll drift right into that stuff. And it will devour you. And I don't care how long you've been walking with Christ. I mean, so that's, this peace is peace that we experience right now if we stay in the present. And we trust the process. And so this is part of the journey. You just got to trust the process that I can't control everything going out there in the world. But I can have some say-so in my actions for sure. You have say-so in your actions. And that's part of a longer link and a longer chain. And that chain has a great deal influence on how the world turns out and how our community turns out, how our church turns out. And so this is the stuff that we want to be focused on big time. And John and I were at a retreat all weekend. We listened to a Catholic brother last night, Brother Luke, who shared. He gave the message last night. It was beautiful. And the one thing that Brother Luke said that I really loved was that, you know, he's 75 years old. He's been a monk for 52 years. But what he said last night, which was powerful, is he said that, you know, it's not about certainty for me anymore. He's not lost in certainty. He's more excited about the urgency of living in the now, living in the present, and understanding what God's going to reveal to him right now, right this second. What's the next step of that? And it was a beautiful message to think about as we tie into Advent. So we got to participate in that last night. So it was a beautiful thing. But just think about that, because there's a lot going on. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, leadership. There's a lot of moving parts. And if you get lost in the unknown, then that imposter narrative can just devour you, you know, of all the possibilities. But what if this happens? And all the possibilities, but what if that happens? And you can just literally get ate up with that. And then you're not trusting God. You're trusting infinite self and self-reliance, and that don't go very far in our lives. We have to trust the process. And so, you know, so if you want peace, even when it's crazy in your life, whatever's going on, and we all got stuff, you're either in a conflict, going in a conflict, or you're just coming out of one all the time, 24/7, 365. There's never no just breaks. You know, it's just constant moving, and my peace is predicated on my spiritual condition in that given moment. So that's what we're going to dive into today. And peace can be, again, it can be elusive in a chaotic world, for sure. And the businesses of the season, the struggles of daily life that each of us face, and the weight of global conflicts can often drown out the peace, just drown it out completely. But again, the peace that Jesus brings us is unlike anything, because it brings a calm in the storm. We've got lots of stories in the Bible to refer to that. It is lasting, it's transformative, and it's deeply personal. You know, this personal peace, that you can be in peace while everybody else is around you losing their mind. So this morning we're going to explore the peace of Christ that is declared from the angelic movement. You know it well. It's read almost every Christmas season, Christmas Eve, in his birth, and that's Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. So you're going to see it here on the screen, and I'm going to read it. It's from the NLT version. And I quote, "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" And as we always like to end with, may God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of that scripture today. And so that's a powerful heavenly announcement. And it's not just a declaration of peace, but it's an invitation to experience the peace. So it's not, hey, peace has come, but it's like, hey, peace has come, but come and be a part of it. Sit with it. Step into it. And that's a powerful thing, I think, to think about. So we're going to uncover three dimensions today. Christ's peace, the peace of God, within ourselves, and with others. So with God, with ourselves, and with others. That's really how it all works out. So we're going to start with, and this is the first one, peace with God and restored relationships. So the angel's message begins with glory to the God in the highest. Now you think about that in the big context, and you can go back to that previous slide, if you would, Judy. That's all right. But before peace comes, it's anchored in God's glory. So it's like, you know, we're going to honor who's going to make this peace possible. Glory to God in the highest. I mean, the highest form. Glory to God. Give God all the glory. It's in his purpose to reconcile humanity back to himself. So this is what you got to just think about when Jesus, that humanity's here, God's here, there's a divide, there's separation. It's the root of the human problem in our life. But we all suffer. But as a whole, humanity was stuck because there was no way to get in front of God. You know, in the way that Judaism and everything else was set up, you had to go through a special thing. If you go to the synagogue, only one person or a couple people could even go into one space. And you had these walls, you had this veil, they called it, that separated you from that. So there was always something between you and God. And there was always a mediator you had to go through to even ask to have God even hear what you're going to say to him. And so Jesus ended all that. Remember when he died on the cross, the veil was torn in the temple. It was no longer, there was no longer separation. So Christ has come into the world to invite us. We have say-so. We can say no to it and still stay separated, which is what most people do, unfortunately. What I did for many years. But you can also say yes to it and be a front row seat in the living room of God and have a personal relationship with God. And it's powerful. So through Jesus, this broken relationship between God and humanity is restored at last. So go ahead to that next slide. So just imagine, you know, you have two souls, right? And they had a falling out and they want to reconcile. But they don't know how. And picture a mediator stepping in. In this case, it's Jesus, if you see the image there, that Jesus does for us. He bridges the gap between the holy God and sinful humanity. And here, unfortunately, even inside the context of Christianity, the kingdom of God, we see people fighting and divided. We definitely see this is why there's 37, you know, million different churches throughout the world, and there's 40-something thousand different denominations in the world. You know, so this is what Jesus said. I called you to win souls, not to win arguments. So come on. And this is really relative when you think about the politics and all the nationalism and all the stuff that's went on in the last several months, years, really leading up to this election, that people are so divided and they want to argue about stuff that just doesn't matter. And at the end of the day, this is what Jesus' point is. A theological insight on that is Romans 5:1. We got a scripture here to read. the title of it in Romans, and that's not actually in the scripture, but it's the translation, that faith begins with joy. So therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. It isn't what we've done, but it's what God has done, right? And so we can never lose sight of that. He is the ultimate act of peacemaking. God came to reconcile us to him. It's the ultimate act of peace. And then we're supposed to emulate that in our lives. You know, so go out into the world, and starting with your own home, and try to be a peacemaker. Go into your job. Go into your communities. Go into your church. Go into whatever. You know, you should be bringing people together, not pushing people apart. Amen. You know, either a strong link in a chain or you're a weak link. And then you got to own that. That's on you. If you don't know, just ask the people around you. They'll gladly tell you. You know, if you're a weak link or a strong link. You want to be a strong link. You're not going to be a perfect link, but you want to be a strong one, making a difference. So that's the application question. This Advent season, here we are, second week of Advent, are you experiencing peace with God? It's a personal reflection question. And it's an opportunity to receive the gift of reconciliation through Christ. So if you're separated, you feel disqualified for some reason, you got a secret going on you really haven't talked about, or you got a heartache going on inside your family, or you got a real challenge that you can't do anything about, you're powerless, it's really robbing you of your peace. All this stuff is reality. We all got something going on. You know, and there's always something, you know, trying to move us away from a Jesus-centered life to think about ourselves, our problems, our little woes. You know, and it's amazing how we get lost in this stuff. I guess it was about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, I was out in Virginia, and I gave a message and did a workshop, and this guy had been walking with God for a long time, said, hey, would you be willing to mentor me? He goes, I got a mentor here, but it's not really going that well, and not da-da-da. I said, well, just call me when we get back, and we'll talk about it. So he called me, and we talked for about 15 minutes, and I listened to him for 15 minutes, and I said, let me just share with you what I didn't hear. In 15 minutes, I never heard the word God one time. I never heard the word mentor one time. I never heard the word prayer. I never heard the word meditation. I never heard the word love. And I never heard the word service. So you want to go out and get a different mentor or join a different group or church or whatever. You want to change an external thing thinking that's going to change what's going on with you. I said, dude, the reality is you need to actually start doing this stuff. Start living it. I mean, if you just start living it for 90 days, it'll change your life. It's the guy been walking with God for decades. But he's still lost in the externals. It's going to be something outside of me that's going to change what's going on with me. You know, I need this or I need that. It's so far from what we're talking about today. So it's the peace is knowing that God is with me. I have work to do. I need to share what's going on. If I do have a disturbance, use a Star Wars term, in the force, then I need to have somebody I can confess that to and share with that. And if you don't have that person, I encourage you to find that person. You start right here in your own context. You know, who is a person I could just get confidence in and ask to be a mentor or accountability partner? And somebody you check in with once a week. You know, I can't tell you how important that is. You know, and why that makes a difference in your life. And I can share John and I's story. John's in recovery. I met John 24 years ago. I met John when I was driving from my mom's house to go to another event I was going to, and I was way early. I said, man, I gotta kill some time. I'm going to go over to this recovery facility. I'm going to go hang out in there for a little bit, have a cup of coffee, just kill some time and see what's going on there. So it's August 20, 2004. It's baking hot outside. Or it's 2000. And it's hot outside. And I'm driving down the street. I'm on Hampton in the city of St. Louis. And I see this guy walking who's got a Kiss shirt on. And I'm a big Kiss fan. So right away, you know, it got my attention. But he's got, you could tell he'd been in a hard way. He had straw in his hair. He had boots on, shorts. And he's just walking. He looked like Tom Hanks from Castaway. You know, you could tell he'd not been sleeping in a house. Probably been sleeping outside. And he's walking up the street, and I'm kind of, because of traffic, I'm going slow. And I look at the guy, I go, man, that guy needs some help. I hope that he finds his way into this space. I'm going like 6 blocks away. So I go up there, and I go in, and I get a cup of coffee. I'm just hanging out there. And about 15 minutes later, John walks in. And he goes, man, I'm just looking for, is there something going on here, and is there a group or something? I said, there's one in there at 5:30. I think that's what the board says, 5:30, it's in there. Okay, cool, and it goes in there. Now, I don't know if you've ever got a nod from the Holy Spirit, but something that just punches you, when the Holy Spirit, like, just punches you, pokes you in the chest, slaps you upside the head, kicks you in the butt, whatever. That was one of those moments, like, you got to go in there. I wasn't planning on going in there. But I go in there, and I sit down right across from John. And I could tell right away that what was going on wasn't very fruitful. And I said, John, let's step out. If you're willing, let's step out here in the hall. And we stepped out, and we had a conversation. And he told me briefly what was going on. And I said, how willing are you to live a Jesus-centered life, to live this life we're talking about? He goes, my life, I got to, or I'm going to perish. I'm going to die. I said, well, then let's get in the car and go. And he got in the car, and we went to another space, and some people that were there, like you, loved on him, and I was able to call his cousin that where he used to live, and he was working for this guy, living there too, and I called him, and I said, hey, you don't know me from Shinola, but I'm here with your cousin, and he really needs some help. I'm going to help him. He's made a commitment and a covenant. We formed a covenant to step into each other's life. Are you willing to meet us there? Were you willing to let him come and stay there and get a shower and something to eat and all that? He says, yeah, I'm willing to do that, after we talked. And so I dropped him off. I said, go shave, take a shower, clean up, and I'll pick you up tomorrow night. And I went and picked John up the next night, and he was a totally different person. Very handsome man. I mean, blue eyes. I mean, this is 24 years ago. And he hopped in my car, and we've been doing this journey for 24 years. And that's what that looks like. That's living out the kingdom life. That's what we're called to do, friends. And that's what he does. And he mentors all kinds of guys and goes all over the place. That does all incredible lives. Just his testimony alone is powerful. And we'll get him up here next year during Testimony Sunday to share that. But that just gives you a crack of what this thing is about. That's living the kingdom life. You know, that's living a Jesus-centered life. That's what this guy from Virginia was not doing, any of that. It was all about me. What are people doing for me? And I don't have the peace. I don't have the hope. I don't have the joy. I don't have the love of my life. Well, yeah, because you're living an extremely self-centered life, and that's not what the kingdom life's about. You got to die to that and go live your life for God's ambitions. And when you do, you have storybook lives, and you get those storybook experiences. And they're countless, friends. They're here till the day you are no longer here. And I don't care how old you are, what season of life you are, there's some version of that story available to everybody sitting here. And you're going to have some of that when we invite these people here in a couple weeks, and they come with their families. And there are going to be people that absolutely don't want to walk in that door. I can promise you they don't want to walk in that door. Because of stigma, because of shame, you're going down the road. And most of them haven't been connected to a church, family, or community maybe their entire lives. And it's not a big deal, because you've been doing it for a long time, and you've got a Jesus-looking God that you follow, and you live a Jesus-centered life. But I'm promising you, there's more people than you can count that will not walk in that door on their own. If you paid them, they would not walk through that door. So now you invite them and says, hey, we want to meet you halfway and help you take care of something, what you need. But we, more importantly, this is the gospel message of this whole thing we're going to be doing on the 21st, 22nd. It's not, we just want to give you something. We want to invite you into this community, this space. Most will say no thanks. They won't come out and say no thanks. They just won't show up. But some, and you don't know who, will come back. And it's not going to be because you gave them a ham, or you paid a bill for them. It's going to be because you sat across from them, just like I sat across from John, and you had a real conversation. You humanized them. You gave them equality. And you met them where they're at. And you said, hey, let's step into that. Can I get your number? Can we talk during the week? And the next thing you know, you call them. Hey, how you doing? Love for you to come back and be a part of what we're doing. And next thing you know, they show up. Next thing you know, they're on the leadership team. Next thing you know, they're up here saying whatever it is they're going to say. And it's a powerful experience. You want peace in your life? You want joy in your life? You want hope in your life? That's how you need to live your life. That's a Jesus-centered life. That's what it looks like. And it's out there for every single one of us. And most people won't do it. You come to church and it's just a very self-serving thing. I came to church, checked the box, sang some songs. It was great. I'm going home and doing whatever it is I do. Not that I'm out robbing banks or burning out houses, but I'm just living for myself. Going to watch Netflix, watch the Chiefs, say a prayer in the morning, and that's it. But you have this whole life that you can be sharing with the world. And this is what this new thing we're moving towards, this transformation, is going to be all about that. It's transformation. Yeah, but it's more than just, hey, here's the good news. Hope it works out for you. No, it's here the good news. Let's walk shoulder to shoulder with you and help you rediscover. And that's what you have to get excited about. And that's the fun of ministry. That is the fun of living a kingdom life, when you walk shoulder to shoulder with them and you help them rediscover life. And you watch them 24 years later, we're the best of friends. And we could sit here all day, literally all day, the rest of the weekend, just share all the crazy stories we've experienced together. It's been unbelievable. That's just one person. One person. And you see Taylor that's here. Taylor was influenced by him, you know, when John came into his life. That's why Taylor's here. So this is how the whole thing just keeps working. Keeps working and it keeps working. So it's powerful. So that's what we're talking about. So when you're asking, are you experiencing the peace with God? If you're living a very self-centered spiritual life, you might not be. But if you're living an other-centered life, you hear me say all the time, we need to live a life of humility, self-sacrifice, other-centeredness, and loving everybody, including the people who won't care about it. If you're really sold out for that, you will have peace no matter how crazy it is in your life. No matter if the Chiefs win or if the Chiefs lose. It's tough when it happens, but you still have peace with it, believe it or not. So the next point. Peace within the calming of the chaos, right? Peace within, calming the chaos. The angels proclaimed peace on earth, but that peace often starts as transformation within us, right? That's where it starts from. It's an inside out job. You can't give away something you don't got. You can't go stand up somebody and say, hey man, you need Jesus, when they're looking at you, go like, well, so do you. You know, tell your face, because you don't look like you got Jesus going on very much in your life. Jesus came to calm the storms in our hearts and replace anxiety with peace. That's what he came to do. So think about a snow globe. I think we got a picture of one. Think about a snow globe. We got a picture, Judy? There it is. How about that for a snow globe? A picture of a dog who wants to come in out of the cold. It's kind of funny looking. But when you shake it, the snow swirls, right? It goes all over the place. And it creates chaos. That's kind of how life is. It's just like, hey, let's shake up your life today. But when the snow settles, you settle down, and it's cool, and you can have a reflection, you can see what's going on inside it. Our lives feel like that sometimes. You know, things are just going great, and all of a sudden, it's just like somebody, Satan himself, just grabbed my globe and just shook it up and said, here, have a great day. Go figure it out. And you're like, whew, man. So our lives can feel like that, chaotic and unsettled, but Jesus invites us to bring our chaos to him, and the peace settles our soul. So your present circumstances, whatever they are, bring them. Good, bad, or ugly, just bring them, and we can have peace in that. Philippians 4:7 says this, and it's on the board here, and I quote, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Think about that. God's peace, you can't understand God's peace. So this isn't, hey, the two sides dropped their guns and they shook hands kind of peace. It's a whole different kind of peace. You can't even understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He will guard your hearts and minds. So no matter what's going on in the world system, you can still have peace. And I think that's beautiful. This peace doesn't come from perfect circumstances. It comes from trusting the perfect Savior. You know, that's where the peace comes from. So we've got another slide here. This is Christmas season. How many people look like this when they're trying to hang Christmas lights? You ever lose your mind when you're doing Christmas lights? And here's the one that drove me nuts. And I know some of you, I know most of you are old enough to know these kind of Christmas lights. Dale, I'm sure you knew this. You get that Christmas light strand and one bulb's out and the whole thing won't work. But there's no indication which bulb it is. And they're like little bitty things and you put them in, they break off and it's like, this is a racket. This is, the whole deal is a racket, because they've already set you up to have to go buy more lights because you can't replace it and you lose your mind. And then, of course, if you watch Christmas Vacation, well, that's the ultimate Christmas light debacle. But it's crazy. And this is why there's businesses that make a heck of a lot of money, put up your lights for you. We put up Christmas lights. Great. Here's my checkbook. Here's my credit card. Put them up. I don't even mess them. You lose your mind, right, when you think about this. But we've all been there. But life's little frustrations remind us how much we need peace at Christmas time, especially to calm our hearts, just to chill out. if we all went around the room and shared, hey, what's some stuff going on? We all got our stuff. Susie's got her stuff. I got my stuff. Michael's got his stuff. Everybody's got stuff, whether it's health, whether it's money, whether it's kids that are out of their minds, neighbors that are crazy, jobs uncertain, whatever. We got stuff going on all the time. I mean, all of us do. And it's just the reality of where we go and where we get to. So again, the next application is, what areas of your life feel unsettled right now? And again, having somebody to talk to about that is important. It's one thing just to confess it inside the privacy of your own heart sitting here, but do you have somebody to talk to about what you're unsettled about? So I encourage you to take time this Advent season to invite Jesus into those places, trust him, and calm your heart's needs. And our last point, and you'll see it here, is peace with others, reconciling relationships. And the angels proclaim peace on earth, a vision of personal peace and restore relationships among people. Jesus came to break barriers and make unity possible with all people. And we're going to hear it here in a minute, but just pull up this next little slide here. You may feel like this. I don't know if you can read that or not. It says, and now let's all sit and pretend we are a normal, functioning family, at least until the holiday season's over. Can't we just all get along, right? You think about the chaos in our life, but Jesus invites us to something bigger than that. And here it is, and this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. I can't tell you how.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.